Our first reading is from the Psalms, Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had heard this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Think for a moment about the six-year-old boy who went into his parents' bedroom in the middle of the night and crawled into bed with them. "I don't want to be alone," he said. His parents relented, pulling down the covers and welcoming him into their comforting arms. But this was getting to be a pattern, so they decided to address it the next morning at the breakfast table. "You know, Joey, remember how often in Sunday school we talk about how we are never alone? We know it's hard to understand, but we are not alone because God is always with us. And even when you wake up at night, you can stay in your bed and know that God and God's love is right there with you. You don't have to feel lonely. You don't have to feel afraid." Joey gave his dad a look, showing the effort of a six-year-old mind processing what was being said. Finally, Joey responded, "Yeah, I remember we learned that God is always with us. But Dad, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I want to be with somebody that has skin." I think we understand where Joey is coming from. There are times when I want God to walk through the door, skin and all. If I could just see God, touch God, give God my list of questions, it might be easier for me to hold on to the Easter joy with all the challenges that the world gives us. I mean, seeing is believing, right? There have been times when all of us have said, if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have believed it. So we can empathize with Thomas as he stands there listening to his fellow disciples telling him that they have seen the risen Lord. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and unless I put my finger in these marks and my hand in his side, I will never believe. Think about it. The entire crucifixion event had to bring on a period of faint-heartedness among the disciples. They couldn't possibly muster the courage to continue what they had been doing, all that Jesus had taught them about being a disciple. Their leader, their Lord, had just suffered the worst death imaginable. There had to be this void and emptiness that consumed them and their purpose, which they no longer understood. Thomas would not be quick to accept what his brothers were telling him. He had been through too much with this Jesus. Certain expectations would have to be met. Otherwise, he would never believe. No, sir. No, sir. Not again. Not again. Not so much today, but when I first learned this story in Sunday school many years ago, there was a lot of emphasis placed on Thomas's doubt in a negative way. We did not want to be like Thomas. But the truth is, we are. We have all had those moments when we just have to see. And the one who understands those moments is Jesus. Jesus does not admonish Thomas. It sounds like it, but he doesn't, because you know what? The word doubt that we read this morning in our English translation is nowhere in the Greek text. Jesus instead gives Thomas exactly what he needs, because Jesus knows and understands that these series of events leading up to the crucifixion had to lead to faint-heartedness among the disciples, had to lead to questioning and uncertainty of all that they had been about. So Jesus says, Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. And reach out and put your hand to my side. My Lord and my God, it is you, Thomas responded. Jesus knew the importance of the disciples being eyewitnesses to the post-resurrection appearances. Jesus' focus is not on doubt or shaming the one who is skeptical. His focus is on what the disciples would have to do next. They would have a very hard task ahead of them, because these disciples were the people who would have to pass on to future generations the message of Jesus. And the future generations like us, we're not going to have the physical presence of Jesus. What the disciples had to do would not be an easy task. And you know why? Because humans, us, we like to see with our own eyes in order to believe. But that is not how faith is going to work. Jesus' words, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. This was not a rebuke of Thomas. This was an instruction about how faith was to be. You see, faith calls us to see things differently. Faith calls us to believe even when we don't see. Faith calls us to believe when everything around seems to be countering all in which we have placed our trust. Faith calls us to put on lenses of hope when the world is shouting despair. Faith calls us to grow deeper and deeper into belief so that we can see all that God is doing in the world. This is not an easy journey. And please know that God understands our faint-hearted moments. God understands when it's just all so hard for us to grasp. And understand that to be faint-hearted is not to be half-hearted. The definitions are very different. To be half-hearted means to lack interest, to not care, to be apathetic, to be lazy. But to be faint-hearted is just to lack courage, to question commitment, to be unresolved, to be timid at times about what faith means. To be faint-hearted is to be very human. You see, we can still be wholehearted in our faith, desiring God's presence in our lives and in the world, but acknowledging that because we are human, there will indeed be times and seasons where we just lack the courage that faith requires. When things of faith just seem too uncertain and too ambiguous, God understands. God will get us through. Like Jesus saying, "Thomas, come here and feel my hands." God will give us what we need because God is not going to leave us even in those times when we falter. Rachel Held Evans, in her book, Wholehearted Faith, writes, "On our best days, Christians believe that God's most significant act of love puts God and Jesus Christ in the middle of our messy and dangerous world. Jesus comes as a very tiny embryo in the womb of a teenage girl. Jesus comes as a hungry newborn rooting for its mother's breast. Jesus comes as a man who drank wine at weddings and cried at funerals. Jesus comes as one fully human whose heart broke, whose heart soared and skipped beats, and one day stopped beating. God knows well what it means to be human, for God so loved the world. And because true love can never be coerced or controlled, God came in this world to be with us in love without the guarantee that we would always reciprocate that love. God never said, 'I'm not going there until they can tell me they're going to love me every minute.' God came without that guarantee. Because God's divine love is freely given to us, and we must freely receive it. Jesus will not coerce us to love him. Jesus will not manipulate us into belief. Jesus was not mocking Thomas when he said, 'Feel my hands and touch my side.' He was loving Thomas and giving Thomas the assurance he needed in a faint-hearted moment. As we journey and grow in faith, what happens is that we transition from this insistence that only seeing is believing, and we learn that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing where God is at work. And we learn to see with the lens of hope in anticipation of a God who will show up, because God promised us that. In anticipation of a God who is here and active and at work in the world to bring redemption, life, healing, the peace that passes all understanding. It's what we celebrated last Sunday, the resurrection promise. And that's what we're given, this lens of hope. This lens of hope that can look into emptiness, that can look into despair, that can look into discouragement, that can look into endings, and believe that God is hard at work to fill those desolate places with all that God has to offer. Because we learn as we grow in faith that, believing is seeing. The 13th century poet Rumi wrote the following, "I've said before that every craftsman searches for what's not there to practice their craft. A builder looks for the hole where the roof caved in. A water carrier doesn't choose the full jar but the empty jar to go get the water. A carpenter stops at the house where there's no door to put on a door. Workers rush to where the emptiness is because they want to fill the emptiness. Because even in the emptiness, there is hope. So don't avoid it, because God is still at work. God looks around for those empty places that need to be filled. And God equips us to do the same, to look around in the world, to look around among our friends and in our communities for those empty places that need to be filled with all that God has promised. Some days we're better at that than other days. So don't judge yourself. Don't admonish yourself or rebuke yourself. And don't throw in the towel in those faint-hearted seasons of faith. God is still at work, even in our faint-hearted moments. And while we breathe, we can hope. There was once a salesman who did a lot of traveling for his work. One day his wife called and said that their 15-year-old daughter had run away from home. After tireless efforts to find her, he realized that he could not fix this problem. Life was so empty without her. There was this incredible, daunting, indescribable void before him that made him physically weak in his whole body, mind, and spirit. The only thing he felt like he could do was collapse. But then he decided that wasn't the only thing he could do. Despite this vast emptiness before him, he decided that he could pray. He decided that he would not be on the road for any more than 3 days at a time, and when he was on the road, he would call his wife twice a day. He decided that each time he returned home, he would open that door expecting to hear his daughter's voice. He would not allow that hope and expectation to be dashed. And when he did travel, he would always find lunch at a local homeless shelter for runaway youth. He would eat with those young people. He would talk with those young people, but he would not lecture them. He would not tell them to go home. He would not even tell them it was wrong to leave their parents. He would just eat with them, listen to them, love them. And he said, "I am doing this because I hope that someone has just finished eating with my daughter and making her feel loved. Because I believe that when she realizes she is loved, she'll come home. That's the hope. That's the hope I have to put into this emptiness. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. We are human, and as Kate Bowler writes in her latest book, there's no cure for being human. There doesn't need to be. We will have faint-hearted moments. We will have experiences that make us weak in the knees. We have and we will at times turn away from God and, like Thomas, say, "No, sir, not again, no more." God understands those moments. God understands that there is no shame. Because God in every way is wholehearted. God is all in with us. God is all in with us, with you and me. God is insistent on loving us with big love, deep love, overwhelming sweep you off your feet love, knock you over with love, no matter what season of life we are experiencing, whether we are strong in our faith or whether we are in a season of faint-heartedness. There will always be God's impassioned desire to bring all of us home to God. Before Jesus ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, Jesus breathed on these disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, and with confidence grow every day into the revelation that in believing we will see." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.